Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Indira Mendez, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised that this is a podcast session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her encounters in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about 10 valid reasons why couples break up. So I had divided this show into two parts. So if we do not get to part two, just know that you will continue on with the show for next week with a recap of tonight's show. Okay, so without further ado, let's get right to the show. So, as I always do, I always open up the show with some type of story, you know, and just to get my listeners aroused and interested. The reason why I came up with this topic is because, you know, people go through certain phases in life where they break up to make up, and it's just a series of the same cycle happening over and over and over again. But when it gets to a point where the people that are together, they come to a point and realization that the relationship is no longer conducive, rather on a toxic or on a healthy level, and they end up parting ways and officially breaking up. So I just want to just interject and just say that you got some people that love to be in those dramatic and toxic relationships, and they are able to thrive in those types of relationships that are maybe unhealthy, confrontational, and, you know, has a lot of, you know, toxicity in the relationship. And then you have some people who thrives in a healthy relationship with both people or both parties are on the same page, and they both have a common goal, and they always know where they're going as far as in the relationship. They know each other's roles and, you know, their level of importance in each other's life. So, you know, to each its own. But when it comes down to a middle ground between the two, there's no success as far as going through a gray area. It's either black or white in a relationship, and that's how it really ends up being, you know, in my opinion. You know, I feel like when it's in a gray area, it's a dead end street with the both parties. I do feel that you never know if you're coming and going, and there's no spark or interest when things are in a gray area between those polarities of a healthy and unhealthy relationship. So usually a lot of times, you know, they either just drift apart eventually because there's no commonality, no interest, and there's no benefit from the relationship at all. So both parties end up, you know, going each other's ways, parting ways. And a lot of times, as much as a toxic relationship may be dysfunctional, but when it's in a gray area, it's extremely dysfunctional because of the fact that, you know, both parties don't know the level of importance to each other, and because it's a dead end, you know, relationship. Okay, so in part one, I wanted to talk about the first being of why couples break up. And that first one is they can't really define the meaning of the relationship. And a lot of times this is more or less on the aspect of an unhealthy relationship or sometimes gray areas. But for those relationships that, you know, are friends with benefits, People who have open relationships where there's a non-titled relationship, or the people in partnership with each other are swingers and okay with being swingers, you know. And then extramarital affairs, such as people who are married already in commitment, and older men talking to younger women, or older women talking to younger men. And usually it's a sugar baby to sugar daddy dynamic, or sugar mama to sugar boy dynamic, you know. Or sometimes it could just simply be, for those who are married, a girlfriend that the man may have on the side and his wife. And then if it's the wife, she may have her boyfriend on the side who may be of younger caliber from her husband. Okay, and then a lot of times when a relationship is not defined and these people get into these affairs, it can lead to fatal attraction between the parties who get involved in those situations. So when you think about the friends with benefits, as much as y'all may be friends, y'all may be cool and things of that sort, that dynamic never works. Even if it's in a working relationship and you are co-workers and y'all end up in a relationship with each other, it's not going to always work, especially if both parties are not mature or emotionally intelligent or emotionally mature with each other as far as understanding and accepting the dynamic of that relationship. Now, don't get me wrong, some people can thrive and be okay with the dynamic of friends with benefits, but when emotions start to get involved, or when the exchange of fluids and, you know, sex and everything is going on in a relationship, it gets a little bit deeper than the surface. You know, some people, especially women, have a hard time of separating their emotions from the sex that they may have, either with the same sex or opposite sex, or whatever the case might be. They have a very hard time separating the two, and vice versa with men. Okay, I don't care how much a person might say, oh, I'm emotionally mature, I can, you know, do this and I can do that. At the end of the day, it's a no-go, because at the end of the day, you're sharing yourself with that person. You're sharing your energy, you're sharing your fluids, you're sharing, you know, your mental energy, power, and everything with this person. And at the end of the day, if you feel that there is no reciprocity, or there's no equal give and take, and there's no benefit from that friendship, you know, things can go south, things can get sour, things could be, you know, eventually, as fast as the passion can start, as fast as the, you know, that passion, that light can go out in the relationship, if it is not thrived off of, is not thriving off of a condition of it being beneficial to both parties, whether, you know, a person is being fulfilled emotionally with the person, or sexually, or whatever the case might be, it's not going to thrive because it's based off of conditions, okay, that are beneficial to both parties' individual selfish needs and pleasures. Okay, so when those things are not being met, this is what causes people to end friendships, or to end, you know, any relationship, especially if there's no definitive point behind it. And then, you know, when it comes down to the healthy aspect of friends with benefits, or whatever the case might be, sometimes you might start off that way without any sexual contact with the person, but you feel some type of feelings towards the person as far as caring for them, and yeah, maybe being attracted to them, but not, you know, pursuing your attraction to them, but keeping the relationship or that that you have with them, you know, focus on the friendship and benefit of both of you being in each other's life, aside from it being non-sexual. You know, you don't have no sexual contact, there's no emotions involved, but they are, y'all both are friends and y'all both benefit from each other, education wise, it could be career wise, or whatever the case might be. And then sometimes, you know, when it's in a healthy dynamic, if you start off with being friends with each other and you're getting to know each other and you see the value in each other, you know, you, of course, that is going to be a benefit when you see, you know, the value and how that person is an asset in your life and how you're an asset in their life. A lot of times, you always have to be the one to say, what can you do for that person, opposed to what can that person do for you? That's an unselfish mindset, you know. So a healthy relationship between friends of benefits can lead into something more, and then they graduate into, okay, we have a mutual understanding that we're going beyond just friendships, and that, you know, I look at you as my partner, you know, my man, my woman, or whatever the case might be, and y'all move on from there. A lot of times when friends with benefits are immature and is short-lived, there's no graduating to the next level. Okay, so basically, you know, this is what I mean as far as it being unhealthy and healthy. When you're able to graduate to the next level of the relationship, and not just sexually, because sexually just means that, okay, you chose to take it a top notch, but y'all still in the friend zone. What are you going to do? It's either y'all going to go parting ways because it's not going to work, or are you going to be mature adults and say to yourself, you know what, okay, you know, let's work this out. Let's focus on the benefit of this relationship and moving forward, and let's see where it goes. Now, this is not acceptable for people who are in marriages or commitment already. I'm saying this is more acceptable for people who are single and not in relationships or in marriages. I'm saying because that field or being on that playground is just nothing but, you know, I won't even, how can I describe that? It's like being on, let me see, a playground that you don't want to, you know, be on, you know. And sometimes it could be a living nightmare when you are in a relationship with someone and you're trying to find fulfillment outside of your relationship or marriages, and you know, you get with somebody who's not trying to understand the fact that you have a family, or you're just using them for one pleasure or whatever the case might be, you know, that which turns into fatal attraction. But I don't want to go off tangents as far as that dynamic, but it's a playground that married people and people who are in a relationship that don't want to tread upon, because it's just full of games and treachery, I would say. All right, so this is more conducive for people who are single, not in a relationship, and you know, you just, you either you're dating, or you just, you know, you have a friend who you see some potential in them, or whatever the case might be. I'm just trying to give clarity on that. Okay, now moving along to open relationships, where you have people who are already in commitments. And those people who are already in commitments, let's talk about sexuality, right? Maybe both parties who are in a relationship go both ways. Maybe they are bisexual, or they could be a heterosexual and just okay with the fact, okay, you know, I like sex, or whatever the case might be, and I know this is who I am, and I'm, you know, they may have gotten to that level of, you know, understanding their sexuality, understanding how they choose to be fluid, you know, whatever the case might be, and they, you know, are okay with open relationships. So a lot of times, you know, it's a non-titled relationship, or it's swingers. Swingers are people who are already in commitments or married, and they swap out with other couples. So let's say, for example, if you are married to one person and you see another married couple, they swap out wives and husbands, and they, you know, it's more of a sexual contact and dynamic that they have with the person. So that's what swingers are all about, and they are okay with that. Okay, so open relationships are healthy in the aspect to these people who are okay with that, as far as them being true to their nature, true to, you know, the underdevelopment of their relationship, understanding and identifying that, okay, we're not an exclusive relationship, we're not in a monogamous relationship, so I'm aware that you're out there having sex with other people. I'm just giving an example, and you understand that I'm out, you know, also intimate, doing my thing with other people as well, basically hooking up. Okay, so it's healthy in the dynamic because both parties are real and genuine with each other from that aspect, and they're okay with that type of relationship and the fluidity of how the relationship smooths out and everything. But when it comes down to stability, there may be issues, because always know that in any situations, you always got to pick your poison. Always got to pick your poison. So even in that dynamic, there's always going to be a wall that comes up against that type of relationship. Because what if the other person gets sick? Or what if the person falls in love, or they find a soulmate or soul twin, and they no longer want to be with the person who they agreed to be in an open relationship? These things can actually happen. Or what happens when a sexual transmitted disease happens? You know, what will take place? You know, a lot of times, soulmates are okay with open relationships. Soul twins, you know, people who are of the same caliber and understand each other. It's like, it's almost like mimicking each other's aura, mind, body, and soul. Now, when you're a soulmate, it's just that this person, you know, y'all both have a mutual understanding. Y'all vibe with each other good. But as far as mimicking each other, no. You're not going to have that type of connection. You may have chemistry, but you would not have a connection with them as how you would have with your soul twin. That's unspeakable. Okay, but that's another topic in itself. But however, a lot of times soulmates are okay with that. But like I said, when you hit that wall, you know, that's when it gets devastating, because at the end of the day, you may be in a situationship with the person, and you might realize that, you know, in this open relationship, there's no boundaries. That means anything can go. So what if I feel otherwise, or whatever the case might be, because I haven't established these boundaries in the beginning of the relationship, you know, and now that I want different, or whatever the case might be, I can't implement this. So a lot of times, the lack of stability can creep into open relationships, and people end up or tend to grow apart from those relationships because it's not a strong foundation, especially you allowing other people to get involved in your relationship or the dynamic of it because of so much interaction that you must, soulful interaction or soul ties you might have outside of the relationship that you have with that person, and you end up growing apart. Okay, so now moving along to extramarital affairs. As I said before, people who are officially married, legally married, or in a commitment. Commitment, you could be married to each other by law. If you've been living with each other for several years, you automatically, is called common law, considered married. Okay, so even in this aspect, like I said, extramarital affairs, you know, people go out because they're unsatisfied in a relationship, and they go out to find that happiness, that spark, you know, especially the men, you know, they try to go out to find that sexual fulfillment, whether they pay for sex or they pay for a sugar baby, whatever the case might be, they do it to have some type of fulfillment or ego boost because they are lacking in their current relationship, and vice versa for women. A woman may not be sexually satisfied and might need a younger man to be able to hit those peaks and, you know, those chakras in, you know, her being, and to get her to that ecstasy, that feeling. And she may not get that with her husband because maybe he can't get it up, you know, or maybe he doesn't have a long john, if you know what I mean, you know, and maybe he's just not fulfilling, you know. And this is what causes, you know, women, men in married relationships to go out, rather than saying to yourself, you know what, let me be creative, let me take this passion and be able to bring the spark back into the relationship to make it more fulfilling opposed to going outside of my relationship. You know, a lot of times people are not creative enough. They think that, oh, okay, let's go on vacations and let's just do this, it's okay. But that becomes repetitious and becomes so routine that it becomes so boring. So you have to have some type of spontaneousness in your relationship as far as being creative, okay? So when it comes down to that dynamic, a lot of times that's what happens, and they get them a little side piece, or these men get them a mistress, and they have them there for a fulfillment purposes, and it don't last long. So those relationships end up breaking, and they end up going from one, you know, sugar baby to another, or, you know, so forth, whatever the case might be, with women or the man, the husband or the wife, going from one sugar baby to another, and just, you know, keeping a person around, stringing them along long enough to when they decide that they don't want that relationship anymore. You know, sometimes that can happen. And then fatal attraction. You get with somebody, you could either be single or in a relationship, and the person may not be all there upstairs, meaning mentally. They may have mental issues, and you may not have known about it because they hid it so well. So a lot of times, you know, when you say that you're ready to end the relationship, they're not ready to end the relationship. And a lot of times things happen where it becomes chaotic and they jeopardize your relationship that you may be currently in, or they even jeopardize your life by making it a wreck or making it a living nightmare. And you don't want that. So sometimes relationships can end because of that as well. And that's just my opinion. Now moving along to how being single is feasible for a person, especially if they are dating and they're not trying to look for a serious relationship, but they're dating and trying to get to know other people and things of that sort. So usually sometimes people who are in a relationship, they realize 3 or 6 months down, or maybe 6 to 9 months, maybe to a year, that things are not working out, and you know, they're not fulfilled, and they make a decision that, you know what, maybe it's conducive for me to be single rather than be in a relationship with someone who I'm not happy with. Because believe you me, I do think, in my opinion, that when you deal with someone, I feel like as far as a duration of 3 months period, that they get to show who they are. They show their true colors. You begin to see who they are, whether they are a pathological liar or whether they are a sex addict or whatever the case might be, or they got little pet peeves or something, like some little mental issues or whatever, or little idiosyncrasies that you see that the person has. It's gonna come out after 3 months, because nobody can hide behind a mask unless they are a sociopath for so long. After 3 months, you know, a normal person, give it 3 months capacity. Okay, but even in that, sometimes you could be married to people we don't know who they really are, you know, and you've been married to them 15, 20 years until something actually transpires and happens and you realize that this was a sociopath all along. So sometimes that can happen, and not to go off tangents, but I'm just saying, you know, people who could be a little chaotic and sometimes they just hide it so well, you know, they're illnesses or sicknesses that they have mentally. Okay, so moving along to the fact of people choosing to realize that they go through a self-reflection period and they realize that, you know, they break off the relationship. Sometimes both parties get hurt. In most cases, sometimes when you are younger, you know, either, you know, the person leave their hometown to go to another state to go to school, pursue their careers, and sometimes the relationship ends. And that's fine if a person feels as though being single is feasible. It's not that they're being selfish. It's just that their future is more important than a temporary relationship that's just only meant for you to go through an experience, to go through a phase, to understand yourself and to understand the dynamic of a relationship. So even in an adult life, people move to other states because they need for living arrangements or for a new occupation or job or career. And it's not for the person to take personal. It's because their life purpose is more important than a relationship that may, you know, that is not promising for the future. Okay, now if you are soul twins and y'all are together, whatever the case might be, y'all will understand that you want both parties to be successful, whether y'all with each other or not. 9 times out of 10, people who are not soul twins or whatever the case might be, or soulmates, they are selfish and don't understand the fact of a person moving on along and going through a different phase and a point in their life. They don't understand that because of selfish reasons. And a lot of times they look for the other person to bring happiness to them. And that's not how life is supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to find and define your own happiness and not allow somebody else to make you happy or expect someone to make you happy or satisfied or whatever the case might be, because we're all different. If we all was the same, this would be a chaotic world if we all wanted things to be all neutral and common. Okay, so another factor is that some people feel that no matter what relationships that they go through, it never works. Something never works, okay? They get, especially for men who are attracted to younger women, just giving an example, and they realize it never lasts for too long. You know, not that they need to get someone of their own age or caliber or whatever the case might be. It's because they realize that, you know, sometimes men could come to that realization, and women, that, you know what, maybe it's something underdeveloped within them. You know, and something that they got to face within themselves egotistically. And if they see that these younger women are not staying around or not wanting to be around them, not fulfilled, you know, sometimes they might go through the period of, you know what, maybe I need to be single. And this goes for women as well. I need to be single to find myself. As far as choosing to deal with my baggages and being able to heal, because I don't think that I'm fit to be in a relationship right now. Yes, I can have a woman at my disposal. Yes, I can have, have a woman, you know, however way I want her, whatever the case might be. I can rent a woman if I wanted to, just seeing for a man, you know, perspective. I can, you know, do whatever it is that I want, fulfillment. But at the end of the day, I am not happy. And because I'm not happy, as much as a woman my age may be stable and, you know, be a full package or whatever the case might be, I still feel some type of complexity. You know, for older men, I feel like I don't get that complexity with other women, younger women, because they not even a full package. You know, a lot of times these type of older men want to feel wanted by their counterpart, and they feel that with the younger woman, they feel wanted, they feel appreciated, they feel that ego boost, things of that sort. And then it's like when they can't get that from an older woman, they feel like an older woman of their caliber is already set in their ways just as much as they set in their ways. But a mature man will realize that, you know what, I need to get rid of these baggages. I need to get rid of my ideologies on younger women or just being attracted to them. Yes, I think they're beautiful, but I need some stability. You know, I need someone who I can build with, someone who I can work on building an empire. I may not be able to do that with a younger woman because she still have a whole life ahead of her, but I can actually meet a level-headed woman where she at, and we can grow. Once a man gets to that point, whether he's older in age, 60 or beyond, or whatever the case might be, he realizes that, and he goes through a healing process, and vice versa for a older woman, you know. And then they eventually start to, you know, find what makes them happy, find what makes them fulfilled, and they're not necessarily moved by younger women who may be attracted to them or whatever the case might be, or moved by being seduced by a younger woman or whatever the case might be. They're not moved by that because they know at the end of the day they develop some type of grounding and soundness within themselves as men and as women per se. Okay, so this is, has a lot to do with, you know, people coming to the realization that, you know, going from one relationship is another example to another, and the same cycle has happened with different people. They have to deal with their baggages and be able to heal holistically. And being single is more feasible and makes more sense. Okay, a lot of times another reason is people leave relationships that are unsatisfied for their own mental sanity, their peace of mind, and to realize that self-love is more important than a questionable relationship where they always have to question, am I, whether they coming or going in a relationship, or why is there always conflicting issues, or one person is, you know, satisfying another and another person is not being satisfied. So it's like when a person gets to that realization that self-love is more important than trying to please somebody else who's not trying to please you or love you in the same capacity is what's more important. So this is what causes being single to be feasible, okay? And then moving along to not being prepared to manage the challenges in relationships. A lot of times people get to that point as well too, especially with the older man to younger woman dynamic. When a younger woman gets with a guy and he's already set in his ways, and let's say he could be religious, he could be Muslim, he could be someone who's, you know, wealthy, whatever the case might be, and he got a lot of businesses and things of that sort, and he gets with a younger woman, he expects for her to be traditional, cook, clean, and do all of those things, and that younger woman is not trying to cook or clean or bring any type of stability to that man. So at the end of the day, what ends up happening is that it becomes challenging for that woman because she never been taught how to cook clean and, you know, be in partnership with an older woman, older man or whatever the case might be. She never been taught that. So at the end of the day, what ends up happening is that the relationship becomes flip-flop, and the man be okay with putting that younger woman in a sugar baby dynamic to where he just taking care of her, and it's just a parent to child relationship. Okay, that, and I feel like sometimes that could be so degrading at some point, because even in that capacity, the man may feel that he's developing that woman mentally, whatever the case might be, is still degrading, because that man do not see that woman as of his equal, basically a king to a queen. He just look at her as someone he's just taking care of as a child, and I feel like that's not a good dynamic. You know, as far as being in a relationship with someone and you're classified as a sugar baby at the end of the day. Okay, so and vice versa for older women with younger men. You know, they want these younger men to step up like men who are established, who may be wealthy or, you know, sound in a decision. And these younger men are not sound. They don't know how to fix, you know, certain things. They don't know how to, build a foundation with an older woman or whatever the case might be. They know how to wine and dine you really good, but that's all that they could possibly do. And you can't expect anything more, because a lot of times, you know, an older woman to a younger man might expect for that younger man to buy you things, to treat you like a man of your caliber, your age, to treat you. And that younger man may be feel challenged to want to please and do all of these things for you, but at the end of the day, it may put him in a questionable dynamic as far as questioning his manhood. Is he good enough? You know, he go through those dynamics. And yes, don't get me wrong, to some degree, when you have a sugar baby from a sugar mama to a younger, you know, boy, yes, they do get developed at some point in time, because it makes them realize in life, you know, what they want, and, you know, how to create a stable life for themselves aside from being in a relationship with you as a sugar mama. So, and vice versa for an older guy to a younger woman. Sometimes that woman may not, you know, be with you long term, and she might be in another relationship. You might be preparing her and grooming her for another conducive relationship that's conducive for someone else. You know, so a lot of times this is what happens when you bring these challenges to a sugar baby, you know, whether you're a sugar mama or sugar daddy or whatever the case might be. This is what happens. Okay. And I'm just, you know, keeping it practical, just my opinion and being realistic. And I must say that it doesn't feel good to, as much as, you know, a younger woman or a younger man may want to be taken care of by an older woman or older man or whatever the case might be, it doesn't feel good when that person treats you like a child or look at you as, you know, someone who is not of the equal as far as being a counterpart. It doesn't feel good because it makes you question yourself. Am I good enough? Okay. You know, can I meet this person's expectations and things of that sort? And sometimes it could tear a person's self-esteem apart when that happens. Okay, so it's good to prepare yourself on your life journey, especially if you are younger. Don't look for anyone to take care of you. Take care of yourself, you know, and be in that position, in that predicament where you are a boss, okay? Make sure that you are boss so that way you could attract another boss and y'all could be able to build together and y'all see each other as counterparts in another lesson. Then, don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with having a counterpart and you being submissive to the person or whatever the case might be as far as being respectable of that person. It's nothing wrong with that dynamic or for and no need for that person to feel, you know, less than because they are submissive, a woman to her man, her counterpart. It's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but when it comes down to the fact of that man just looking at you or summing up in the fact that you're just a sugar baby, that's something different. Because a man could respect a woman who is submissive to him but looks at her as his counterpart. There's a difference because he knows that this woman is doing whatever she's doing out of respect to him and not to get his gain his affection or things of that sort, but it's just to, you know, for his stability, for his peace of mind and things of that sort. So a lot of times when you got sugar babies, they are bratty, they manipulative, and a lot of times, you know, men, women, older women and men, they can't deal with that type of dynamic. They don't like dramatic relationships and things of that sort, or when there are problems and issues, you know, and a lot of times this is what a sugar baby brings to the table. Okay, so this is, I'm making it very clear of, you know, what it's like to be in a counterpart relationship when you are a boss, you taking care of yourself, especially if you're a young man, you doing your thing, you establishing yourself, you're not looking to, you know, be with no person or whatever, but you're focusing on bringing a stable ground for yourself and to build yourself up, it's fine. And if you decide as a younger man that, you know what, at the end of the day, I want to be with someone who's at least 2 years younger than me or someone who's at least 4 years younger than me and I could be able to manage a relationship, whatever. If you choose to do that, that's fine. You could do that if you are a younger man or whatever the case might be once you get yourself established. And even if you find someone, you know, that, you know, that may be 10 years older than you and you feel that y'all vibe with each other, yet she respects you, you respect her, and it's a good dynamic of the relationship. You know, she's not treating you as though you are a little boy, but she's treating you as you are her counterpart, then this is a different dynamic. And I'm just giving an example, hypothetical. Okay, for you women, do not look for a man to take care of you. Do not think that trapping him with a baby is going to keep him, because at the end of the day, it will break your heart to have his child. It will break your heart to expect or think that you're going to have something more with him because you have his child. And then you realize that he does not want to be with you. He does not love you in the capacity that you think, because you started off being manipulative in the relationship. And because you wanted someone to take care of you and you wasn't independent in your own right, what ends up happening is that you hit a rock in a hard place, especially when that man moves on and he be with his counterpart and he be with a woman who he can actually build with. Because no matter how much you whatever you establish, if you have a child, you think that, oh, a child is going to keep him trapped or whatever the case might be, believe you me, sweetheart, it's not. Because if that man chooses to move along, he's going to do that. And I seen a quote where it says a man doesn't change because he's in a relationship with a woman. He changes because he chooses to, you know, change in a relationship. Not because of what, you know, the woman do manipulatively or whatever the case might be. No, he chooses to change in a relationship for a woman. Not a woman changing a man. Okay? Because, you know, to their liking or whatever the case might be. And that's just, you know, factual. Okay? So be careful, ladies. Get yourself together. Okay? Know that a baby is not going to trap, you know, keep a man trapped and vice versa, you know, for you men with, you know, other women or whatever the case might be. That's not going to keep a woman stuck to you, you know, especially if you're an older man to a younger woman or whatever the dynamic is and you're trying to keep her trapped because you don't want her to go anywhere. That's not going to keep the relationship going, especially if it's unhealthy, You know, so from both perspectives, there need to be a self-reflection as far as building yourself up, getting yourself established, and be a boss. You know, learn some type of independence and understand that codependency is not a good thing. Being, what is that word? It's okay to be in a relationship where there's a give and take, reciprocity. I can't think of the word, but reciprocity for now, where it's a give and take and it's not conducive or for someone's emotional conditions or, you know, certain situationships is not predicated on those things. When you are in a relationship that warrants reciprocity and not codependency, okay? Whereas, oh, okay, I need this person to be this way because of my emotions, to protect my emotions so I won't get hurt. That's conditioned and codependent because you leaving someone else responsible to protect your feelings and your emotion when you should be a mature adult to keep yourself intact and be emotionally sound yourself. Okay, so this is what's most important. Okay, now another reason why people break up out of relationships is because it's more problematic than it is any solutions or things of that sort. So a problematic relationship, like I said, you got some people who enjoy being in a toxic relationship. They love it. They enjoy it. I always say, you like it, I love it. You know, but in a problematic relationship, there's constant arguments rather than agreements. The two people don't know how to agree to disagree. And instead of sitting down like two adults and having a discussion about an uncomfortable topic or whatever, or situation, or whatever the case might be, they choose or resort to fighting or messing up, you know, a person's home or place or whatever, and destroying it and not having the level of maturity of realizing that it's not, or emotional intelligence enough to realize that not everything has to be an argument. Not everything has to be said through you actually doing stuff to be destructive and to be just problematic, just, you know, just nasty as a person. It's not, it doesn't get anywhere at the end of the day, especially when a person feel entitled and very immature. It's a very problematic relationship, especially if you cannot agree to disagree with each other. It's very immature, okay? And I feel like no person or no people should be in a relationship of that dynamic where it's codependent and there's a lot of arguments than there are agreements, or you just being in a relationship to make another person happy. That's not healthy and that's not fair as far as you evolving and you being fulfilled in a relationship. It's not cool. Okay, and then having trivial behaviors and actions in a relationship where a person, you know, you checking other people's phones, you know, your partner's phone or whoever you with, you checking their phone, going through their profile, hacking their social media and things of that sort. These are trivial behaviors and trivial nonsense. When you doing those types of things and then you throwing it in the person's face, that is a problematic relationship, okay? As far as trivial actions in relationship, doing things to be vindictive to the other person, causing them to suffer in a relationship for no apparent reason other than it being trivial to something that you may be immature about, those are problematic relationships. And this is why, you know, the relationship may not end right then and there, but this is why people decide later on in relationship to leave and to leave at the right time. This is why people do that. Another factor is lack of control and manipulation is going on. So because of lack of control, a person feel like they need to manipulate a person, whether they do it through emotional, you know, strings, you know, pulling strings with the person and being manipulative, you know, to keep them tied to the person, which is not cool. or some people who are into doing spells or doing little things, or whatever the case might be, to keeping people spellbound to them, you know, or under their hocus pocus. I'm just, you know, saying hypothetically, but people will go to the extremes of doing that, putting a hex on a person, putting a spell on a person to keep them, you know, locked to them and to do all of those things. Me, I don't believe in none of that thing, that type of, you know, experience or those things, because I feel like if you love somebody or somebody loves you, the Most High will give you what you deserve. You don't have to manipulate, you know, the person into loving you, because guess what? Spells and hex, those things wear off. And guess what? The Most High see and takes recollection of everything that a person does to be manipulative. And believe you me, that consequence for whatever you do to keep a person spellbound is worse. It's 10 times worse when it happened back to you. Okay. When you realize that that person do not love you the way how you try to manipulate them into loving you or whatever, or doing whatever spell or hex or whatever the case might be, things will start going wrong in your life, because this is a consequence to your actions of you trying to manipulate a relationship to your doings. Okay. Another factor is lack of maturity. And before I even go along to lack of maturity and back to the manipulation part, in the Most High keeping recollection of what a person is doing or whatever the case might be, believe you me that the Most High has all power to break all curses and hex and spells that anybody put on a person. Believe you me, that's how powerful the Most High is. So if you think in your practical world or your little thing that you're doing that is going to keep a person, you know, bound to you or stuck to you, it's not going to be for so long. Trust me. Okay. And then moving along to lack of maturity, you're in a relationship with someone who is not mature. And they still a kid. They still have a childlike mentality. Still doing childish sugar honey iced tea. Shit. Plain and simple. And it's like, you know, you realize that at the end of the day, you're always hitting the wall with this person, or always in a rock and a hard place with this person, or because of this person is not mature, you know, as a woman, or I would say a female and a male are usually immature about certain situations. But when you have a woman and a man, there's a level of maturity and understanding between the two. But lack of maturity is, you know, a female to a male and a male to a female dynamic where, you know, they don't know how to discuss anything. So they resort to fighting. They don't know how to have some type of normalcy in a relationship without fighting or arguing or whatever the case might be, and bickering, going back and forth. That's not what happens in a mature relationship to a woman to a man dynamic. They have a discussion without both parties raising a voice, getting emotional, or whatever the case might be. They don't hang up the phone when they on a in a conversation with someone mid halfway. They actually sit down make a schedule of time to meet with each other, to speak with each other face to face. This is what women and men do. And to have a normal conversation without arguing or raising voices and things of that sort, and insulting each other. That's not what happened in a woman to man dynamic. In a female to male dynamic, a lot of insulting remarks happen, touches happen in those types of relationships when it's immature. Those things happen. Hitting, smacking, throwing things at the person, those things happen in immature relationships. And like I said, female to male relationship dynamic. Okay. So now moving along to people who do not wish to be in a monogamous relationship. This is why people break up from a relationship as well. So it could be that the person have a sexual addiction and they can't help it. They are promiscuous. They'll pay for sex. They'll get sex in any kind of way that they can, or however way they can. But they need that fulfillment. They need that spark. And that's what happens. And a lot of times people who do not wish to be in a monogamous relationship, in a person, wants to be in a monogamous relationship, that person is thinking about what can this person bring back to me sexually? Like, are they going to bring me back a sexual transmitted disease, or is this person crazy? Whatever the case might be. But most time, 9 out of 10, a person who's who is in a relationship with someone who's have a sexual addiction, they more concerned about what is this person going to bring back to me. A STD, or what is going to go on, or am I going to always have an issue because in their household is not sound? There's always an issue or problem because of this person having a sexual addiction or whatever the case might be. There's always issues, always problems in a relationship. Even if it's not of the same thing, it's always something different with this same person. Okay. Another factor is that sometimes they have a strong attraction to the opposite sex. That could be one, or sometimes it could be a same sex. This is why people don't choose to be in a monogamous relationship, because they have a strong, you know, attraction to either opposite sex or same sex, and they can't help their urge or whatever the case might be. They can help it, but they can't help it, you know. It's an oxymoron, but yeah. They're not interested in the connection. They're only interested in the chemistry that they have with the person. So a lot of times you might have someone wanting to connect with the person in a relationship, but the person only want chemistry, or what can they put, you know, do together sexually rather than building with each other and having that mind body soul encounter with each other. They're just thinking about what can I do to do the wham bam thank you ma'am, and that's it, go about my business. You know, a lot of times that happens, and this is why relationship ends, because there's no fulfillment in that dynamic. A lot of times lack of sexual commitment and boundaries in a relationship where a person is always cheating because they may have a sexual addiction and not satisfied in their relationship, so they choose or resort to being in a non-monogamous relationship and doing their thing, their own things, and things of that sort. And this is why some couples break up in relationships. Now, moving along to being sexually incompatible. A lot of times, and I'm going to keep it real, sometimes, you know, when it comes down to the incompatibility, you know, no matter what, you could love a person very dearly, but that person do not bring no sexual fulfillment to you whatsoever. I don't care what they do as far as it just being missionary or whatever the case might be. It's just no fulfillment there. And a lot of times it's because a person lack orgasm in that type of intimate dynamic. There's no fulfillment. It could be because, you know, maybe the woman don't have a, you know, a man to a woman. Maybe he feels that the woman is not voluptuous enough. She doesn't have a big behind or a big breast for him to hold on, and he's not fulfilled. He may love this woman, but he's not fulfilled. Or the man may not have a long john, and, you know, he may think that, oh, okay, well, maybe, you know, given oral, maybe the woman don't want oral, maybe the woman wants to be penetrated and you can't penetrate her in the right way. And sometimes this could be a blow to a man's ego as far as not, you know, being able to fulfill a woman on a penetrating level. And that's just, you know, being realistic. And then vice versa, women and men may want to have oral, and the woman don't know how to do it, and he resorts to getting it outside of their relationship because he feels someone else could do it better and good, or whatever the case might be, better than his wife or woman that he's with. So he looks for it outside, or he looks for some type of craving and, you know, certain wild, you know, things to do with another woman that he can't do with his wife or woman. Sometimes that happens as well. So a lot of times it could also be that they're not interested in the connection. And they are lacking sexual attraction to each other. They may not be attracted to each other. You know, they may not be turned on. And it could also be because of either party is promiscuous. So no matter what, this person could be a serial cheater where they lay down and, you know, be with multiple people and still be in a relationship, you know, whether they keep it hidden or is exposed or whatever the case might be, you know. these are the things that happen as far as why people may break up in relationships, you know, because of not having that fulfillment. And then you got some people that suffer who are married and, you know, things happen where they're not sexually fulfilled and they're suffering because they don't know what the hell to do. If, you know, to find that fulfillment, they don't know how to tell their counterpart that they're not sexually fulfilled. Okay, so for those who have listened to the memoirs of her, I thank you for listening to the 10 valid reasons why couples break up. However, we only got to 5 reasons why couples break up. So there's going to be a part 2 for next week's show. So that way you all can be listening in. I hope that y'all were able to understand the physical part, the physiology part of why, you know, in the mental aspect of why people break up from out of relationships. And as I said, it could be the relationship is not defined. Sometimes being single is feasible. Sometimes, you know, a relationship is too problematic, or a person do not wish to be in a monogamous relationship. And then 5 was being sexually incompatible with each other. Okay, so those are the 5 valid reasons of why people break up. So for next week's show, like I said, we're going to talk about the other 5 reasons as to why people break up out of relationships. So thank you for listening to the memoirs of her. Bye-bye.